and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Good morning. You know what you see today is like a wedding, but this is a spiritual wedding. You know that the priest is married to the church, and the church is married to him. So he has his wife, Masha, congratulations. But their mind has to be in heaven. Their mind has to be in the holy ministry, in the godliness of the holy ministry. They make children on earth, but they make spiritual children in heaven. In the 21st century, beloved in Christ, priesthood is not an easy thing. Like we are sailing against the wind. Imagine how many people here today. For example, we have 200 people. We teach them love. But how many millions out of the church teaching about hatred? 200 people in the church, we teach them how to forgive each other. But how many people outside, millions, they don't understand, you know, what forgiveness means. They look for power. They look for prestige. They look for how to compete each other. How to trap each other, if you like. But in the church is different. What we see in the church, beloved in Christ, that is a little picture, a little image of what we anticipate in heaven. So we don't care about what do they teach outside of the church, but we don't have to become weak because of that. We don't have to imitate them. We receive Holy Communion over and over and over every Sunday. So we are different, and we must be different, and we have to act in a different way. I will use one quote from Saint John Chrysostom, the golden mouth. So we call him Chrysostom because his mouth and his words are golden. Look what he says about priesthood. The work of the priesthood is done on earth. Like we do baptism, we do wedding, we visit hospitals, we visit sick people, we encourage weak people, and so forth. So the work of the priesthood is done on earth. But it is ranked among heavenly ordinances. And this is only right, for no man, no angel, no archangel, no other created power, but the Paraclete. Paraclete means the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit himself ordained this succession and persuaded man while still remaining in the flesh to represent the ministry of angels. The priest, therefore, must be as pure, strange, as pure. Do they understand it outside? We hear in the Akathist service, she combined between marriage and virginity. Who can do that except she? Only she. So the priest has to imitate. So that's why, you know, like the bishop always has this, to represent purity and virginity and godliness. So the priest, therefore, must be as pure as he were standing in heaven itself. So that's why my teaching to the clergy, when we are behind the altar, we don't look around us. We don't know who is in the church and who is not in the church. We don't look at the people because we see only people coming from heaven. Our mind is there. Our focus is there. Our eyes are there. Our ears are there. Our mind, our brain is there. So the priest, therefore, must be as pure as if he were standing in heaven itself, in the midst of those powers. This is the teaching from St. John Chrysostom, the Golden Mouth. Another beautiful quote from St. Cosmas. Look what he says. St. Cosmas gives a beautiful teaching that illustrates how high the calling of the holy priesthood really is. He instructed that if you are walking down the street and you see the simple village priest on one side and the king on the other, you should first approach the priest, make a metania, means a bow, ask his blessing, and venerate his right hand. Then, if you want to greet the king, you may do so, because the priest has the authority to consecrate bread and wine into the body and the blood of Christ. The king does not. Further, if you see the simple village priest on one side and an archangel on the other, you should first approach the priest, make a metania, ask his blessing, and venerate his right hand. Then you can approach the archangel and say, "Wow," or whatever it is that one says when seeing an archangel, because the priest has the authority to bind or loose the sins of men, and the archangel does not. Now, you can argue with me about some exceptions, but the exception is not the rule. So this is the rule. We have some exception here and there. We don't learn from the exception. We learn from the rule. So Father Michael now has been preparing himself for a number of years. You know, before we push someone to go straight to seminary, we encourage him to study. So that's why my first choice for Michael to study was business. And he finished business. And you might surprise, you know, like, why business? Because in the church, you know, like in the office, dealing with a parish council, we need to do business, church business. So he has to understand what's going on in the church. But after that, after business, 3 years, so now he dedicated all his life, all his time, all his being to God and to the altar. So we don't need to think of business all the time. We need to think how to save people, how to forgive people, how to minister to people, how to humble ourselves before people. Because if we don't love someone, we cannot help him. If we don't respect someone, if we don't love someone, if we don't embrace him or her or them, it's impossible to serve them. So the priest's ministry is so, so big. So that's why, you know, in some churches we have priests, some churches we have two or three or whatever. Ben Lomond, you know, like once upon a time, we used to have 15 priests and 24 deacons in one church. We need more priests. We need more deacons. We need more seminarians. We need more people dedicated to God. So thank God, you know, like this archdiocese, we have plenty, we have plentiful, we have more than we need of clergy, but still we need more. Why? Because the ministry does begin in the church, but doesn't end in the church. So we have to go after the lost sheep. We have to talk to people in the streets. We have to talk to the people on their shops. We have to talk to people at their homes. We have to talk to people at their schools and so forth. So the priesthood is so great because our award, beloved in Christ, would be from heaven. Now I am as a hierarch, as a bishop, I can discipline a priest or a deacon on earth, but God, you know, like knows the heart and the mind. God is the only judge in our life. Today is not by accident. We celebrate, we commemorate the fathers, the 360 or 630 Holy Fathers in the Fourth Ecumenical Council. I get a lot of inspiration every time we have this commemoration of the Holy Fathers. And today I ask the newly ordained Father Michael to be inspired by what they did. 630 Holy Fathers convened and met in the city of Chalcedon or Chalcedon in Turkey at this moment. And they defended the faith. You know, after the first, the second, and the third ecumenical councils, the church thought that everything settled, everything is quiet and nice in the kingdom. But all of a sudden, another heresy attacked the church. That heresy that was questioning whether Jesus with two natures or one nature. We call it monophysites, means those who follow the one nature of Christ. Mono means one, and physis means nature. So it means like one nature of Christ, what they believe. But we believe the opposite. We believe that Jesus Christ is the only perfect man and the only perfect God. And even on the cross, the human nature never disappeared. Even in death in the tomb, even in the suffering, even in everywhere, he was a perfect man, the perfect man, and the perfect God. So we don't have to question this anymore because it is a dogma, a doctrine in our church. Look how they put it in a very nonsense wording. And I share this with you today. We these people who believed in this heresy, they said, The false teaching arose that Christ's human nature, considered by heretics as less perfect, dissolved itself in his divine nature, considered by heretics as more perfect, like a cube of sugar in a parcel of water. They forgot that Jesus is the best kind of sugar. Cannot be dissolved in like a cube, you know, like in a parcel of water. So, beloved in Christ, a priest, a deacon, and of course the bishop, and all the believers must be defenders of the faith at all times. Today, the teaching of St. Paul to Titus, another inspiration, and I finish with that. He says to him, like a deacon, like a young bishop, like a young priest, like as I'm talking to the newly ordained to the priesthood. He says, Titus, my son, the saying is sure. I desire you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to apply themselves to God's deeds. These are excellent and profitable to men. And he says to him, as a father, but you have to avoid stupid controversies. Imagine how harsh this teaching. So St. Paul telling his son Titus, avoid any stupid controversies. Avoid any stupid genealogies. Avoid any stupid dissensions. And till the end of the passage. Many times, beloved in Christ, people like you, believers like you, come to us for a counseling, for some answers. Not even a deacon or a priest, but even the archbishop, sometimes we don't have answers. Do you know where we get the answers from? From prayer itself. When we pray for some situation, we get answers. From books, we get some. From the internet, we get some. From the computer, we get some. But from God, we get everything we need. From prayer, we get everything we need. So I call the newly ordained to the Holy Priesthood, Father Michael, to focus on prayer. First and foremost on prayer. His ministry is to save people, to help people, to encourage people, to bring them hope. His ministry is to love people, to forgive them. I will never ask him about any budget in his parish or how much money they are making in that parish. I will never ask that question. But I will ask him over and over and over how many souls are helping. How many souls he is helping in the parish. How many children he is inspiring to come back to the church. How many young people left the church for some reason, and if he is able to bring them back. This is his ministry. I will ask him over and over how many people he visited in hospital. So his ministry is to teach. His ministry is to keep on the top of everything, not to be controlling, but to be aware what's happening in his parish. So when I have some situation in a parish, I don't call a parish council, but I call the priest to find out what's happening and what's going on. So the priest has to be aware, has to be known, has to have a good amount of knowledge to answer my questions. So with all of you, I pray for him. I pray to God to keep watching over him and to keep blessing him with many, many earthly and heavenly blessings. I pray for his wife, for the Khuriye, Masha, to be following the Holy Theotokos example and to be a positive, loving, and bringing inspiration and reconciliation and healing into the parish. Not to be part of any fight, in case there is any fight. So now, I pray for his family to keep praying for him, because this blessing goes to him and to his wife and to his father and mother and to the rest of the family. It's a blessing to have a priesthood within a family. Beloved in Christ, let us pray, all of us, to Almighty God to bring us more and more priests and deacons and good ones and bishops, of course. So at the very end, Father Michael will be staying in town for a while until I send him to a parish somewhere. So his future parish would be in Idaho, somewhere in Idaho. So pray for him, and God willing will hear you, and I will hear the good deeds and the good news and all what he is doing in his parish. May the name of God be blessed forever. Amen.